You're calling in this evening by phone. You should have been provided information when you connected, but you'll need to use *6 to unmute and mute your line if you are interested in speaking tonight. So again, if you've just joined us by phone and you're here to participate under People to be Heard, you can go ahead and unmute your line by pressing *6 and letting me know your name. Again, if you're interested in speaking under People to be Heard.
I'm 0240, and this is Annie Cochran. I would like to be under People to be Heard.
Thank you, Annie. I've got you down.
Thank you, Lori.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak under People to be Heard this evening? I've got Ruth Miller and Annie Cochran. We've had a few more people join us. If you're interested in speaking under People to be Heard this evening, if you could unmute and let me know your name. If you're calling in by phone, you can press *6 to unmute your line.
I'm all for it. The American experiment is the way to go. And if we have two American women, Meghan Markle and Oprah Winfrey, who are single-handedly finishing what George Washington and our revolutionary counterparts did, I'm all for it.
Okay.
The American experiment is the way to go. And if we have two American women, Meghan Markle and Oprah Winfrey, who are single-handedly finishing what George Washington and our revolutionary counterparts did, I'm all for it.
Last call. Is there anyone else who would like to speak under People to be Heard this evening? We've got Ruth Miller signed up, and we also have Annie Cochran. If there's anybody that just joined us and you'd like to speak under People to be Heard, please unmute and let me know your name. If you're calling in by phone this evening, you're going to want to press *6 to mute and unmute your phone. I'm not seeing anybody wishing to be heard in addition, so I believe we are ready to go on the record.
Okay, thank you, Clerk Strickler. And hey, just so you're aware, I'm having some weather where I am, and my laptop just got wet, and it's not charging. So at some point, I may switch over to an iPad. Okay, let's go ahead and call the regular meeting of the Bethel City Council to order. It is March 9th, 2021. It is 6:32 p.m. Please join me and rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Clerk Strickler, roll call, please.
Councilmember Barr.
Present.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Leary.
Present.
Councilmember Springer.
Here.
Mayor DeWitt.
Here.
Councilmember Henderson.
Here.
Councilmember McCormick.
Present.
Okay. Great. That brings us to item number 4 on our agenda, People to be Heard. Under People to be Heard, each person signed up will have 5 minutes to speak. As a reminder for those of you participating by phone, you may need to press *6 to mute and unmute your phone to speak. And Clerk Strickler, I heard you mention that two people have so far have identified themselves as wanting to speak under People to be Heard. Who is the first person?
The first person listed is Ruth Miller. And then Annie Cochran.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Ruth, could you please state and spell your name for the record? And as a reminder, you have 5 minutes. The floor is yours.
Thank you. My name is Ruth Abigail Miller, R-U-T-H-A-B-I-G-A-I-L, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. It's me again. I'm here tonight to speak about some serious concerns I have with the Bethel Police Department, and I heard a rumor that y'all were responsible for them. So I'm going to read a well-circulated Facebook post from a Bethel citizen to help spread awareness of what I believe is not an isolated issue with our police department. And I'd also like to encourage anyone else who may be listening and finding themselves in a similar situation or had a similar experience to share their story, even if it's not done in a public manner, because rape survivors do not deserve to be treated like this. And I'm going to read the post now. At the time of the posting, these dates were correct, and I will correct them for real time. It has been 75 days since I was raped, now 80. Yes, this really happened. My rape kit sat on a shelf at the hospital waiting for the police department to pick it up for 34 days. Yes, it has been 80 days and my rapist is still free and walking around like nothing's happened. Yes, for 80 days, my rapist and his girlfriend think this is all a joke and have continued to threaten me. When will women be taken seriously? Why do people continue to allow this kind of stuff to happen? Why do victims have to suffer? Why do victims get victimized by the very systems that are supposed to protect them? Who is policing the police? Why do Indigenous women face hurdles to get justice? Do we not have the right to life free of forced sexual acts? Why do cases involving assaults on Indigenous women constantly get handled poorly? Do Indigenous women deserve to have cases responsibly investigated and prosecuted? Why should Indigenous rape victims feel ashamed and icky when we're not the ones who committed the crime? Why do we allow our aunties, mothers, sisters, cousins, daughters, and friends to be treated this way? Hello, world. This is 2021. And women are still fighting for their basic rights. Indigenous women are fighting for freedoms from forced sexual acts, the right to have our voices heard. Wake up. This has to stop. I will not stop fighting until I see justice. I stand for all women to overcome the hurdles of this broken system in our region. We can't ignore this for any longer. The time has come. Stand up for what is right. Here are Indigenous women demand justice. And speaking of rape kits, I also have some concerns about rumors that I've heard that a man in the chain of custody of this rape kit that I am mentioning that's set on the shelf to collect dust for over a month is related to the alleged rapist. I do not think that if your family member could be the rapist from the rape kit, that you should be involved in the chain of custody in any way, shape, or form. This is completely improper. I also have concerns about the amount of time that Bethel Police Department took not only to collect the rape kit, but to turn the case over to the DEA. My understanding is that victims repeatedly call every other day to ask, why haven't you picked up my rape case or my rape kit? Why haven't you turned over my case to the district attorney? And the Bethel Police Department kind of points fingers at the DA, and the district attorney is like, well, BPD didn't send me anything. How can I charge anybody? So I think there's some serious system problems here. I'm not sure if this is like policy. If this is policy, policy needs to be changed. This incident needs to be investigated. I know that there's council members on right now that are aware of the person who was raped and their case. So it's very easy to get this public information, and I encourage you all to do so. And I'm going to be out with a megaphone on a regular basis until something happens. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for your testimony and for joining us tonight at Council. We very much appreciate your participation and your testimony this evening. So thank you. I believe next on the list of folks who had signed up under People to be Heard was Annie Cochran. Could you please state and spell your name for the record? And you have 5 minutes.
Thank you so very much, Mayor DeWitt and council members, for your time. My name is Annie Cochran, A-N-N-Y. C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E. And today I come to you because I am a family advocate, and I want to go ahead and let you know that the views that I express today are my own and in no way represent my employer. I do a bit of youth advocacy and family advocacy, and I stumbled across something, and the system really raised some concerns, so I wanted to go ahead and address it tonight. I am referencing a specific case and the information that I have received, but I would like you guys to be able to go ahead and look into this further. I would be happy to go ahead and provide through the clerk actual details, but for confidentiality and to protect all victims involved, I won't be disclosing the information publicly here. But I do want to let you know kind of the issues that I found out through my advocacy. The first thing was there was a call made to 911. And when that happened, we need to ensure that individuals who may be impacted by that initial call, that they receive the proper aftercare and that the information is reported correctly to the appropriate agencies that are required under state law for them to be notified. The second thing that I wanted to go ahead and address is that when women or children are victimized and a report has been made, we really can't expect those victims to call back multiple times and wait over 12 hours after an incident for an officer to be able to meet at a hospital and to have a SARS exam completed and to give a statement to the law enforcement officer. Victim shaming is a real thing, and it's hard enough for victims to actually speak up when traumatic events happen, and they're super brave and they come forward. We shouldn't create these additional hurdles for them to have to go ahead and seek justice. The next thing I really believe is that victims have the right to have their cases investigated in a reasonable amount of time and to receive timely updates. I don't believe that victims should have to continually call the investigating agency on a regular basis just to try to figure out what's going on with their case. They should kind of know what's expected. They should know appropriate timeframes. And we have an obligation after a violent crime to protect the victim, to ensure that the investigation is handled timely. It's really, women really just struggle, men as well, I'm sure, to make an initial report as a victim. And they have feelings that they should have done more, and their feelings are traumatic situation keeps coming back and forth. It's really overwhelming. We can't allow individuals speaking up to be just victimized again. Another concern that I really have is our police department. For years, I've been hearing that they're understaffed. For years, this is continuing on. We really can't allow our police departments to be so dramatically understaffed that they lose the ability to protect and serve the communities that need them. When a victim feels that a police department isn't investigating the case appropriately or handling the case, we have to have a way to go ahead and have checks and balances in place. Currently, our options with our Bethel Police Department is that we can go ahead and file a complaint with an internal investigation. We have a really, really small police department. It's hard to get a fair shake that way. You know, you can go to the police chief who's overworked himself and he sees it through his lens. And then the other option that we could do is we could go ahead and contact city council. All of this is public. We could go to the ethics board. Then your name is read and that's public. And then you get to go ahead and meet in a special executive session. But we really have no confidential way to say, I don't agree with this. I think more needs to be done and have checks and balances in place. We don't have the ability to call the Alaska State Troopers and have them investigate it because they don't cross-agency investigate. They don't take complaints against another agency. And so it really comes down to the basics. The Bethel Police has a responsibility to ensure that they maintain the public order and safety, enforcing the law and preventing, detecting, and investigating the criminal activity. We have more calls. We need more officers. We need to be able to have a full staff to do it. We can't hide under the guise that we just don't have enough staff. That excuse can't be valid. We need better for our women. We need better for our children. We need better for our families. We have the highest rate of violent crimes against women and children. We need better for our community. So I really hope that you will take the opportunity to go ahead and take a closer look and see what can be done to refine our systems that are really broken. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you for joining council this evening, and thank you so much for your testimony. Has anyone else joined us who would like to speak under People to Be Heard? Okay, Clerk Strickler, it's my understanding we did have written testimony submitted. And just as a reminder to the public, we are accepting emailed testimony. An emailed testimony must be emailed in to cityclerk@cityofbethel.net by 4 p.m. on the day of the meeting. It must specifically request that it is to be read, people to be heard, and it must contain the full real name of the person sending it. And depending on the number of emails received and the length of the emails, they may be summarized. So, Clerk Strickler, it is my understanding you do have one item to read. Can I try?
That is correct. Thank you. The submission was from Ryan and Stephanie Butte. They've identified themselves as Thunder Ridge residents, and their submission is related to the presented resolution 2103. Her emailed statement reads, their emailed statement reads, we would like to state our support for resolution 2103 as put forth from the City of Bethel. Having a complete route around Bethel would help our community in many different ways. It would help people save money by cutting down on our driving time while going from one side of town to the other. It would help ease our 5 o'clock rush hour traffic at Watson's Corner. It would help with our emergency responders and their drive time to locations. One of the most important reasons is the safety of the 9100 road of Timber Ridge. The street is very narrow, houses have little to no easements, and it is full of bends and turns that make it dangerous to children playing outside along one of the main roads. We hope that the state of Alaska will choose location A and help our city be safer by creating better road access to all sections of Bethel. And that completes the statement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that, Clerk Strickler. Has anyone else joined us who'd like to speak under people to be heard? All right. Hearing no one else who wishes to be speak under people to be heard, we'll move on to agenda item number 5, approval of consent agenda and regular agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent and regular agenda?
Yeah, I move to approve the consent agenda and the regular agenda.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. Are there any council members that would like to remove an item from the consent agenda?
I'd like to take item 10.3 off of the consent agenda.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Would anyone else like to take something off of the consent agenda? Okay. Not hearing any other items coming off the consent agenda. So are there any amendments to the agenda? Not hearing any amendments to the agenda. So back to the motion on the table. Approval of the consent and regular agenda. All those in favor of approving the consent and regular agenda, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, please say nay. All right. We have a consent and regular agenda for the evening. Next up is approval of the meeting minutes. Looking on a small device here, item 6.2, the minutes of February 23rd, 2021, the regular city council meeting did pass on the consent agenda. That brings us to item 7, reports of standing committees. And just as a reminder for the public, there are several vacancies on our committees and commissions. You can contact the city clerk's office if you are interested in learning how you can get involved with this aspect of municipal government. So, item 7.1, committee commission reports. Up first this evening is the Port Commission with Councilmember Springer.
Okay, thanks, Madam Mayor. I haven't been to a Port Commission meeting yet. I'm still waiting to get notified about the next one.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Springer. Next on the list here tonight is the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board with Councilmember Barr.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and good evening, everybody. So there was a meeting on March the 3rd, and Many applications were reviewed. We have another meeting set for tomorrow night, March the 10th, to further continue reviewing the applications. Then we'll bring our recommendations to the council on March 23rd. There was some concerns about the money that is gained from the alcohol sales, 20% of all revenues, was going over to the UK, and we realized that there may be issues in the finance department identifying what that amount of money is. So that's something that we're working on also. But again, we have another board meeting. The CAG board is going to meet tomorrow night, March 10th, and recommend our findings to the council on March 23rd. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Council Member Barr. Next up is the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee. That is my committee. This committee met last night. We went over a number of items on the agenda, discussing parks names, which is something that our recorder's been doing an excellent job getting ideas from the public and then voting on different parks names for some of our unnamed parks, and we'll have a document coming forward to council here pretty soon about that item. We also were talking a bit about the scope of work that will be conducted on the phase two feasibility study, and hopefully that's something that will be coming to council again here pretty soon. And the next item that we discussed was the sugary beverage excise tax proposal, which will be in front of council again here in the near future. And the committee made some recommended changes as a result of the last time that council discussed this back in December. So, for example, there was a concern about powdered beverages. There was an adjustment discussed and made to that allocation to make that a more reasonable amount for council consideration. There was also a further definition adopted of medical beverages used for medical use. So that was fleshed out a bit more, as well as some additional definitions. So the committee's hope is that a document will be in front of council in April, and council will be able to look at each of those proposed changes on a case-by-case basis and decide whether or not they want to incorporate those into the draft ordinance for further consideration. This committee meets the second Monday of every month, so our next meeting will be in April. And we do have one vacancy if there's anyone who would be interested in joining the Parks, Rec, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Commission. On the agenda next month will be a name change to shorten that name, so stay tuned for that as well. And that concludes my report. Next up is the Finance Committee report with Council Member McCormick.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. So since our last council meeting, we haven't had a meeting, as that was on February 22nd, and I believe I reported on that already. We really just kind of introduced all the new people that came in, so there's not much to report about that. However, as I'm sure everyone on council is aware of, but I wanted to report for the listening public, we learned of some pretty devastating news last week. Our recorder, Heidi Hoffman, passed away. I send my condolences to her children, her parents, and her siblings. It's my understanding she was a great employee for the city. She stayed with the finance department, despite a lot of the turbulence that was present, during her time there. With that in mind, I would just like to draw people's attention to the fact that her family's currently putting on a GoFundMe fundraiser for her services. So I encourage everybody, if you see that on Facebook, I know I'll be posting it after this meeting. pass that around. And if you can manage it, any sort of donation, I'm sure it can go a long way to helping them. But so just again, I send my condolences to everyone, her family and close friends. So that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember McCormick, for that. And next item on our list here is Public Works Committee with Councilmember Leary.
Thank you. So let's see. So we had a rescheduled meeting on Thursday, February 26th. We covered a number of topics. We had quorum. And let's see. So some of the highlights, we made an initial attempt at coming up with some goals and priorities for the committee in 2021. Thank you, Clerk Strickler, for prompting that. We also had a long discussion about the current state of the public works building and options for the future, looking at the need for possibly a new facility sooner than later, which right now the estimates we're looking at looking like that would cost upwards of $25 million. It's a pretty big building. Very important. It's where all of the water sewer vehicles are housed and among everything else, but it's really important and they take up a lot of space, the water sewer trucks, or maybe just the water trucks. But anyway, lots of vehicles have to be stored in there. And so it's, we're outgrowing the building and there are a number of longstanding issues with deterioration of the exterior. There's the power needs to be upgraded. Boilers are undersized, et cetera. There are a number of issues with that facility. So there will be more to come on that. Let's see. And then one other thing I wanted to mention, we discussed the Avenues project. We did get an update on that, but I don't think it was much different than a council's last update. But we did talk about the committee brought up at the last meeting or the last time we were able to meet the need for, you know, to make sure we've got eyes on the Avenues project. And so we don't see any, you know, similar issues with what we've seen at the pool, with some kind of construction issues and oversight. And so we're really good discussion about that. And, we were all assured that the Public Works director and that Dowell, the engineering, firm, managing this project, that there will be eyes on basically every detail of the Avenues project as it goes in. So we felt pretty good about that. And that was all I was going to talk about tonight. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Leary. And the last committee or commission report is the Public Safety and Transportation Commission with Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I want to begin by offering my biggest and most powerful apology to the committee. The day of our meeting, I got a phone call asking if I was going to attend the meeting, and of course I said yes. But that day was my birthday, and after work, my husband cooked me this fantastic dinner and brought me all these gifts and stuff. And the next thing I know, it's 5 minutes after seven, and I realized I hadn't logged into the meeting, and so I quickly logged in, and I was never accepted. So I'm assuming that the meeting ended, and so I did not attend the last meeting. That was totally my fault, and I sincerely apologize. And I look forward to telling them all in person myself at the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that, Councilmember Henderson. And I just realized that between Port Commission and Community Action Grant Committee, Planning Commission was on the list, and my eye skipped right over it. I'm having to work off of an agenda on my cell phone tonight, so I apologize for that. Planning Commission and Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hey there. So we actually have our next Planning Commission meeting this Thursday, March 11th at 6:30 p.m. As always, the public is welcome to call in or Zoom in, however works for you to have your voice heard and to hear what's going on. We have a special order of business, which will be the election of chair and co-chair of the commission. Currently, our chair is Kathy Hansen and our vice chair is Lauren Bradbury. And then for new business, we have a public hearing because the Planning Commission received a conditional use permit application from AMW Property Management to construct a single-story triplex in a residential use zone. And this is at 228 Akiak Drive here in City Sub. So that's for the public hearing. And then we also have a second item under new business, which is to discuss an action memorandum for City of Bethel resident voluntary junk vehicle removal program. And that'll be a discussion item. So if you'd like to call in and be heard under either of those items or just call in to listen to what's going on, please do that. We'd love to have you on there. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen, and I apologize for skipping over you on the list this evening. Next up on our agenda is the special order of business, agenda item number 8, and there is no special order of business on this agenda. There also is no unfinished business, which is agenda item number 9. And before we get into new business, I'll remind folks who happen to be listening, if you want to look at council packet material, you can find the material at cityofbethel.org, the city's website. So feel free to check there and you can follow along. The next item is item 10.1. This item passed on the consent agenda, but I'll read the title. It's introduction of ordinance 21-07, establishing chapter 9.10, prohibiting defacement of public property. This was sponsored by the Public Works Committee. And again, this passed on the consent agenda, which means there will be a public hearing on this ordinance at the next regular city council meeting. The next item up tonight is item 10.2, introduction of budget ordinance 20-12, letter J, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 2021 budget, outsourced services, sponsored by Interim City Manager Williams this evening, and also this passed on the consent agenda. So because that is an ordinance, there will be a public hearing on this item at the next regular city council meeting. That brings us to item 10.3. This item was pulled from the consent agenda this evening, and this is resolution 21-03. Opposing the statewide transportation plan's Tundra Ridge Road project and the state's use of eminent domain to carry out the project. This was on our agenda from Interim City Manager Williams. Is there a motion to adopt resolution 21-03?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I so move.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Is there a second?
Second, this is Councilmember Leary.
Thank you, Councilmember Leary. Councilmember Springer is the maker of the motion. You have the opportunity for first debate.
Yeah, thank you. Although it appears that the state has legal ability to exercise eminent domain, particularly against native allotment, I think that it's extremely important for the City of Bethel to oppose that. Bethel is surrounded by native allotments. The owners of these individuals, families, heirs are entitled to certain protections from the federal government, but I think that we need to recognize the existence of those, the importance of that private land ownership, and not let the state of Alaska bully private landowners when options exist, as is stated in the resolution. That maybe cost a little bit more, but are not removing, private property rights from individuals. I am not a fan of eminent domain in any, fashion. I was pretty appalled at a Supreme Court decision a few years ago that lets eminent domain be used to benefit private parties. So I strongly, encourage my fellow council members to vote for this resolution and, send as strong a possible message as we can to the state.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Councilmember Leary.
Yes, thank you. Besides everything that Mark or Councilmember Springer just said, I completely agree with. I think the option that the city is supporting, option A, going over and connecting to the dumpster, just makes more sense as far as traffic flows and not directing traffic through a residential neighborhood when we do have another option. So I am supportive of this, and that's all my comments for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Council Member Leary. And what I think I'll do is maybe call out each council member and give an opportunity on an individual basis for comments, since this is a little more difficult over Zoom. So please be ready for your name to be called if you'd like to comment on this, and then I'll open it up one last time. Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yeah, I'd like to echo what the other council members said before me, and also just point out that I think it's incredibly important, like Councilmember Springer said, to stand with our community and also the responsibility we have as citizens and people to respect the native allotments in our community. And I'm for this resolution. I'll be voting in favor of it. And I'm glad this is coming before us to vote on. And I just want to thank Interim City Manager Williams for doing that and for the support of council members who've spoken on this already. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for that, Vice Mayor Hansen. Council Member Barr.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I concur with everyone's comments in support of this resolution. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Council Member Barr. I'll jump in here next and say that this is a resolution I'll be supporting. I have extreme concerns over the use of eminent domain in general when there's another option, but especially over a native allotment. And I thought this might be a good opportunity to hear from Pete about the project before we continue on through our list of council member comments, in case folks are listening who might not be as clear about this resolution or the impacted pieces of land. Interim Manager Williams, before we continue on with comments, would you like to speak about this resolution and the proposed and alternative plans for this road?
Yes. Good evening, council members. Can everybody hear me? What we have here is, of course, Bethel's been trying to find a way from one side of from the airport to Ptarmigan for quite some time. The first real official document we have, between the state of Alaska and the city's administration, there might be another document out there, but this one is dated February 6, 2003. At the time, they were proposing to use the land that the Pokie estate owns and is what currently the DOT is trying to take by eminent domain. It's curious. There's a few things that I don't understand and how this has gone over the years. In this letter, it stated that this project was 50% complete with the continuing with construction for 2004, and there was a little bit of a delay, and it was going to slip into 2005. It seems like after 10 years trying to go one way, you might kind of look at something else. I know that administration had mentioned internally of an alternate route as early as 2004. But I just kind of find it the DOT just hasn't been cooperative. They picked the route. They're going to go this way, and that's the way. Well, there is. There's nothing else out there. And over the years, this current route that they've proposed to do, maybe it's a personal opinion, but I think it's outgrown. The Bethel has kind of outgrown the purpose of this road. I mean, before there wasn't as many people in these subdivisions. We have Larson's up there. We've got Tank Farms. There's the airport's a lot busier. Things are just busier. And this road that's currently proposed is going to cause a lot of problems in Thunder Ridge. And both coming in with vehicles coming and going. You know, as people become more familiar with roads that they drive on, they start cutting corners, they don't pay attention as much, there's children in there. I just kind of have a hard time believing that the DOT just couldn't see some of this without having to have it pointed out to them. The current Route A came about actually in discussions with the Tactical Committee when we developed the long-range transportation plan. And that's what developing a transportation plan is all about. We looked at the current proposal. There was actually another route that has been proposed before, too, that would actually encircle the whole lake and then come back to Thunder Ridge, and we would have the same problem with all the traffic in there. But, you know, the DOT was at the Long Range Transportation Committee meetings, and there was more than one meeting. They were very public. We had them at the ONC. The DOT participated. We set up in a culture center it was at the ONC building. At one time, we had 4x6 layouts on the tables that people could come in and look at. And this alternate A was what kind of came out of that meeting. And that's the way you develop a plan, is that everybody sits down to the table and you come up. And when we all started those meetings, nobody had A on their mind. It just didn't exist. So where I'm at here is as we took a little bit harder look at this. One of the questions that came out of that meeting was that in any construction project, there's permits that are needed. One of them is the environmental assessment. Of course, you have to secure the land, which is before you can start a project. Normally, you make sure that you own the land that you're going to build on. And those were two big questions, and both of those were answered in an affirmative that the first part of H. Marker Lake Road belongs to the FAA. It's part of the airport. We received permission to build a right-of-way across that, and the other part of that is the B&C land, and I had a verbal that they were on board on that. I don't have it in writing, but it was a verbal. So this was relatively easy, and to point the compass, but for some reason, the DOT, it might be part of because of the cost, because one is more than the other, that's fine, but that still shouldn't be a consideration. You don't build a firehouse half the size you need. I mean, you want to build something that you need now and for the future. You need to be looking down the road on this. So, where we're at kind of tonight is, inadvertently today, something happened with the, DOT and, The original representative for the DOT caught wind of this resolution. And wrote back to at the time, the city clerk, when she was acting city manager, had signed a memorandum of agreement that appears to us to be for acceptance of the road for maintenance purposes. In other words, if the road was built, we were going to agree that we would maintain it. So that's good enough. But also in that same email, she stated that if we were to withdraw from this, that we could be liable up to $1.6 million in fees for the work that the DOT has done up to this point. What the $1.6 million was for, it wasn't itemized. I suspect that it was from the time they started this project. I looked at the STIP proposal for this year. The expenses were to be for FY21. They were to be expended $100,000 on this current road. FY20, they were going to spend $400,000, another $100,000 FY21. So that would be for planning purposes. I don't know if I felt threatened, but I don't feel like there's any cooperation. The other one that we had the meeting with the city clerk and the city attorney and the planner. And one thing that the city planner mentioned was that when he started asking for details of this current project, usually we like to see something at 35%, 65%, and so forth, is that he was told, because it was in litigation, that they couldn't release any information about it. So that's for the current one. And I just kind of find all this kind of odd. I just don't feel like the DOT is in the best interest, is working in the best interest for the citizens of Buffalo. I feel that and the shame of it, I think, is that when we left the transportation, the long range transportation plan and those committee meetings, we seemed to have a rapport with the DOT. But now it seems to have gone the other way around. It's almost like if we don't do the H Marker Lake Road, that's it. And then this organization, the DOT, it's federally funded. It's a big enough organization that they can swing with the punches, so to speak. I mean, if they have the will, if they could certainly find a way to accommodate this route. I don't think we're asking anything impossible. So that's kind of my comments on that. On that as a whole, I just feel that that something is fairly easy. I mean, right now all they have to do is, here we are in litigation. Nothing's really getting done. All they have to do is, if they wanted to get on board with this, was turn their surveying equipment in one different direction, and we could be off working on this. It just isn't that hard to do. And right now it seems like our backs are to the wall, and all we can do is speak up. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you for that, Interim Manager Williams. I'll go back to council member comments and then open it up for additional comments or questions. Council member Henderson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I too approve this. I are the alternate route A. I don't agree with the way the state is handling this. I think they're trying to bully us into doing what they want, and I don't think that's right. I think they need to have a sit down with the city and the employees and come up with a solution. I I'm a little concerned about the road conditions out there. Going to the dumpsters from ASHA Housing, I think they might need a little upgrade if, you know, if we are able to do this regardless which route. But I think it's a great idea. I love the idea. I mean, that lake saved me today from being extremely late for work after lunch. So I really do appreciate the opportunity to be able to go that way. I just wish the city wouldn't be so difficult, or the state wouldn't be so difficult. And because my dogs are barking, I'm getting...
Okay. Thank you for that, Council Member Henderson. Council Member McCormick.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. I share the sentiment of all the other council members who have spoken thus far about this road project. The only thing that I would just want to add to that is, you know, if you for whatever reason find yourself perhaps supporting the efforts by the state, I would just encourage you to try to put yourself in the shoes of that land of the landowner here. I'm using this hyperbolically. I don't mean this literally, but I personally think it's a crime to just to stick a road through private land like that. And so I just encourage everyone who doesn't support the alternative route to really just to try to have some perspective. You know, what would it feel like if somebody just wanted to put a road in your land and you couldn't do anything about it? So those are my thoughts on that. And I also just want to thank Interim City Manager Williams for keeping us in the loop on this. You've done an excellent job. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. That's all I have to comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that, Council Member McCormick. Because this is a fairly significant issue and also a legal issue, I thought we might call upon City Attorney Libby Bacalar to weigh in if she has anything she would like to add to the discussion, and then we'll go back to council member comments.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. So I just sent to council just now the amended memorandum of agreement from 2003, which with the changes in it that DOT requested that acting manager Strickler, city manager Strickler at that time, sign off on. And if you can all open that, as you can see, most of these changes are fairly ministerial things from the 2003 MOA about how this project was going to be done. I highlighted the one substantive change that's in here was the state added a penalty for breach of the agreement. Now, I want to just clarify there's a difference between how this road gets built and what happens after it gets built. As you can see in that Section 10 penalty for breach, it talks about the city's promise to maintain and operate the road once upon completion. So the state, as I see it, gave the city a series of options for how this road was going to be built, and then perhaps proceeded not to, it seems from what I'm hearing, involve the public to the satisfaction of the community and the council. That's not so much a direct legal issue implicating this MOA as it is a question of how the road gets built. Now, I had a long conversation today with Clerk Strickler and the city planner, Ted Meyer, as well as city manager Williams. And we bandied this whole issue about and looked at the changes to the agreement. And I think, DOT perhaps saw this item on the agenda and sort of started worrying about, you know, brought up this, you know, penalty provision and this breach provision. It's like, well, wait a minute. Not a single piece of land has been disturbed yet in this whole process. The state, I guess, resorted to eminent domain. And in that letter that they sent to council, the February, I believe it's 21st letter, or maybe the February. Anyway, it was late February, explaining the different options and why it was they got to the eminent domain stage on this. My overall assessment of the situation is that the city has been consistent in, you know, there's that 2018 resolution that sets forth the city's preferred route that this development take. And how the development progresses, once again, is different from who maintains and operates the road once it is done. And so I'm a bit just confused as to why DOT has raised this, you know, specter of penalty and breach and return of money and all this stuff when there hasn't even been, as far as I understand from Manager Williams, you know, so much as an inch of ground disturbed on this project yet. We're talking about how this gets done. I don't think there's any question that we have agreed and will agree, as far as this goes, to maintain and operate the road once it's built. But the DOT presented the city with a series of options, as I understand it, for how this road gets built. And it does not seem that those options were perhaps given an adequate airing in the community. So that's my understanding. And I just wanted the council to see what exactly had changed in the agreement between 2003 and 2020. And it's all about the project once constructed. Obviously, DOT does have the authority to plan, design, and construct the road in however way that they choose to ultimately. I think, you know, this resolution expresses displeasure with that process. I don't think it changes our obligations under this agreement. I don't think it gives us, you know, an enormous amount of authority to direct the way DOT does this, but it certainly sends, as I think Councilmember Springer mentioned, a certain message to the state about what the council's priorities are and the city's priorities are on how this project has developed and the alternatives that have been aired and the airing that they received and the involvement of the community. It seems to be deficient as far as the city's concerned. So that's a policy question, but I don't see the design part of this as, you know, that's not really covered in this MOA. So, you know, and if it were to get, if this were issue were to go further, and I would ask, you know, the DOT or the AG's office to point to me where, you know, they believe this resolution somehow implicates this MOA or creates a breach problem or a penalty issue or anything like that. Again, DOT sort of raised the specter of that in a very sort of oblique way. But if that really is a concern of theirs, I'd like to hear more concretely what that is, because I don't see that. And I certainly think a resolution, which is a statement of policy, doesn't, you know, implicate this at all. So I don't know if that helps or complicates things further, but I just wanted everyone to understand what the kind of what the landscape was.
Okay, thank you for that, City Attorney Bacalar. And with that, we'll go back to council member comments. Are there any additional comments?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Council Member Springer.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Pete for the very good description of the situation as it is, and pointing up the administration's fight against DOT. You know, it sounds like they're trying to play a dirty game, and we don't need that. And certainly not on the backs of private landowners and native allotment holders.
Thank you. Anything else? Right. Hearing no other comments or questions, we do have a motion on the table. And Clerk Strickler, I will call upon you to roll call vote Resolution 21-03, opposing the statewide transportation plans Tundra Ridge Road project and the state's use of eminent domain to carry out the project.
Councilmember Henderson.
Yes.
Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Barr.
Yes.
Councilmember McCormick.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, everyone, and thank you, Interim Manager Williams and Attorney Bacalar, for providing content to that discussion. Next up on our agenda is item 10.4, Information Memorandum 21-04. This item did pass on the consent agenda
and I will read it. It's the presentation of the city's water and sewer services expenditures compared to budget from July 1, 2020 through February 28, 2021. Utilities maintenance, waste and wastewater activity report. That brings us to agenda item number 11, reports. At item 11.1 is the mayor's report. I'd like to mention to all of council members that Attorney Bacalar's evaluation will be discussed at our next council meeting. And we received an email with a link to complete that evaluation document online in advance of the evaluation. So if folks could take just a moment between now and our council meeting where we will be discussing this and complete that evaluation tool that's electronic. It's very simple. I went through and did it yesterday, I think. Please do that before our next council meeting. That will be very helpful. The other item I have is the city council was approached with a proclamation request, and that request was for the Suicide Prevention Advocacy State Capitol Day event, which is March 17 and March 18. And we won't be able to take this agenda item up until our next meeting, which will be after this event. But I did want to draw your attention to the fact that that will be happening March 17th and 18th. It's the Suicide Prevention Advocacy State Capitol Day. There are a number of folks, including people from Bethel and from the region, who will be participating in that. And the city will have the opportunity to recognize that at our next March meeting. And that brings us to item 11.2, the city manager's report, and interim manager Williams.
Yeah, good evening. First, I'd just like to pay my condolences to the Hoffman family. Heidi was really a good worker here. There's a lot of times where we'd be in a sweat if she didn't show up. So it was, and she was always willing to take on something above her daily task. I think I learned more from payroll and what it entailed. It's a lot more than just writing a check out. And AP too, accounts payable, she was very good at keeping us all in check on not overspending. And so she will be missed. And if there's anything that we can do for the family, please feel free to call. One thing I want to direct everybody's attention to is the fire department received their certificate as a certified emergency medical service. I'm glad to see that. It's a good achievement. Some of the other items here, one thing I wanted to touch base on before we get into projects, because it kind of came up, inadvertently on an ask. We're still in the middle of a pandemic, and hopefully it doesn't get worse. We're all kind of hoping, I think, with these vaccinations to kind of transition out of it. I don't know how quickly. Well, I think we all kind of get our foot in the gas and just can't wait. But, it's affected our departments here a lot. It was a lot of days here in the last 3 months that we really didn't know who would show up for work. And the biggest downfall on this has been that when they were out there out for 2 weeks, some people were able to work from home, but certainly like when the personnel from the landfill, property maintenance, vehicle and equipment, and so forth, weren't able to complete their tasks. So other employees kind of switched over and helped out. And and we've been able, I think, to keep an even keel on the services that we're required to perform for the citizens here in Bethel. I kind of what I'm really trying to get at, though, is that as we move into these projects, that the securing materials, goods, and services, I suspect this summer, starting now, actually, because we're already experiencing it, we're going to expect delays. I think we have to expect delays. We're going to, there are going to be times when we don't understand why things are delayed. But if the lower 48, you know, with millions of people out of work, with businesses, you know, some of them have disappeared, transportation's kind of in a flux, there's going to be some bumpy roads trying to complete projects as we move on. One thing that everybody's kind of forgotten of, or maybe didn't know, but certainly we were experienced the effects of it, was that before the pandemic came around, we were having a problem with materials and goods and for materials and goods and not so much services, but materials and goods. And that was because of the situation at the U.S.-Mexican border. The previous federal administration had taken a lot of the border guards, put them out in the desert, and there wasn't a lot of people at the checkpoints, and it was causing some major delays at those checkpoints for auto parts. We have parts that come as far as from Brazil. Those are what we call the yellow iron. Those are the cap and so forth. So we were already kind of experiencing some problems before the pandemic, and now it's going to be, I think one difference here is that Bethel has been pretty lucky that if everybody continues to pay attention that it's going to mitigate this situation here a lot sooner than it will in the lower 48, and some of the problems that we have now will go away, but they'll still be experiencing them in the lower 48, and especially point to some states. As of yesterday, the last week or so, are going back to, no mask, like in Texas. It's certainly a border state. And so I just wanted to bring that up to kind of keep in the back of your mind as we move through the summer and are trying to complete projects. We got a contract project update for Dow here in Avenue's Pipe. I heard I kind of fell down on getting this in the regular packet, and hopefully the Public Works Committee will remind me to be sure that they are access to this. But one thing in this is that the estimate for this project has gone from $8 million to $10 million on our part. I caution that this is a 65% estimate. The estimate's an engineering estimate. And in my experience, engineering estimates are usually like night and day when it kind of – the real tell the tape will be when we actually go out to bid. And like I said, these are engineering estimates. They don't like take every piece and find out how much it costs. It's kind of an overview. We'll work out the funds. We have a good relationship with our funding sources, and when they know our needs, they've like in the Lagoon project, they supplied excess funding, and that included a few water and sewer trucks. So though it is of some concern, and we'll be keeping our eye on it. We will be working on trying to meet the requirements for the funds if they're needed. I have an update to this update. When this update was written, if you read down, it says AIM is closing down. That was the factory that was making the water and was making the culverts, the water and sewer pipe. The latest update is that Arctic Pipe and utilities will be open again this summer. So that was good news. The service agreements have gone on very well. We only have 3 residents left at this point, I guess, to find. Our next step will be to clear the right-of-ways. There's the lift station project had some good news with the main lift station pump is complete and is shipping soon. We thought it was going to be it's going to be 3 more weeks. We thought it was going to be a little bit longer than that. So that was good. The city hall roof project is on course, and I hope so because it's currently falling down through the bathroom here. So that's what I had on the pool. Got an update on the pool. The people working at the pool will be in there here in a few days. Dal will be here for a brief meeting at the end of the week. And I think that that is going as good as can be expected. I think that we should see some real progress here in the next month or so on the pool. What else I have here? We have been working on this community funding that there was a $284,000 earmarked for the city. We thought we had something going today, but in discussions with PHS and YKHC, we're back kind of to square one on trying to utilize those funds. But we still got to March 15th to come up with something, and then March 31st, they'll pick the projects that will be funded. I don't really see anything else that. I guess with that, I could take some questions if somebody's got questions.
Okay, questions for Interim Manager Williams.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Council Member Springer.
Yeah, not so much a question, but just a comment again. I'd like to really give a lot of credit to Public Works, Streets and Roads, for the job they've done the past week and a half or so. Everybody is saying they haven't seen this much snow in a very, very long time out here in the windy part of the city. They've been doing a stellar job. Driveways, they do that all over town. And in fact, businesses and organizations that really stepped up after the big snow to make sure everybody was able to get it out of their driveways. But to be able to get the utility trucks in through, some pretty bad spots is really important. And they've been just doing a great job out here. And it looks like the kids have really been enjoying the snow piles, which is almost what it's all about. So that was just like I say, just a little credit with credit to Madam Mayor. Thanks.
Thank you, Council Member Springer. Other questions or comments for Interim Manager Williams?
Madam Mayor, this is Council Member Henderson.
Yes, Council Member Henderson.
First, thank you, Pete, for that report. I really do appreciate the information that you always bring forward. I do have a question about the, I think they're called nuisance buildings, or I don't know what they're called in your report. I couldn't find it. I was trying to find it before I started speaking. But the buildings that are marked for demolition, do we happen to have a timeline? I know the log cabin has been completed. Do we have a timeline on the rest of them? I'm hearing things about a certain building across the SLU that could be a danger to people of the community, and I just wanted to see if that was earmarked to be done pretty soon or not.
No, it's not close. One thing on this abatement of buildings, I've only been through one of these, and it's a lengthy process. And so it'll have to, because it's quasi-judicial, we're, you know, basically taking somebody's property. It's done in the uttermost seriousness. And there is nothing quick, no matter whose it is, about going through this process. Exactly where he's at right now, that's where the planning department's at right now, I'm not sure. I didn't think about asking about it, but I can comment on the Yukon Lodge, because as port director, I was involved in that particular property quite a bit. And not so much the lodge itself, but the property as currently recorded, they own half the road. They also own Lind Avenue, which is the access we use with the water and sewer trucks to get into the toward the back of that building into those residences that live back there. We pursued this with some kind of compromise with the BIA and the landowner at the time. We were able to we actually replatted the road. We worked with the BIA, recorded the plat, made an offer to the owner. He turned us down. That didn't have nothing to do with the building, though. And we did serve notice on the BIA because they are stewards of that land. So if something were to happen, it's their chore to see to it that that building is secure so people can't hurt themselves. So what that really means is that they go out and find the property owner and tell them, hey, you've got to board this up. You've got to do this and do that. But I can say that because of that interaction with the BIA at the time, when we developed a rapport, they came over and actually surveyed 17, 18 properties and on that side of the bridge to resolve some disputes. So they're the properties have been there for many, many years. And this is one that actually the property across the street belongs to the same heirs, the same estate, and went all the way up to the seawall. And that was really why we got involved. We needed to secure that for the construction project on the seawall. So we never really got right down to trying to remove the house. But the other good thing out of the relationship we established with the BIA at the time was that the person involved at the BIA had been working on this for a very long time. And one of her stated goals was that before she retired, she wanted to see this resolved. So, you know, the quick and dirty way on this is that we can go through, when we looked at this before, we can go through the abatement process. I'm not quite sure. And now that it's been boarded up, I don't know. I don't know how we say it's unsafe. Those are all things that would have to come from the legal side, and this planner and the city attorney would have to figure out what legal recourse we've got, because it seems to be unsafe. We have too many people inside. I'm not sure what the record is on all that. But the quick and simple way was to buy them out. And the road was $30,000. We made an offer. It wasn't a very big piece of property either. Anyways, we made an offer. He turned it down. One of the problems we've had with them is that they kind of want too much. So abatement might be the only way out, but it might be the course that we have to take, because he wants to be unreasonable. But that will be any abatement, in summary, any abatement is a process that will take a while. And I think it's a very good process that we all experience just once, so we all understand it. There's just no quick answers to any of this. So that's a long-winded excuse, I guess, but that's how it is. Thank you.
Well, I have a quick follow-up. I was approached by a member of the community who had asked me to go down and look at it, and I haven't made my way down there yet. But it's my understanding that the building is actually leaning and is being held up by the light pole, the power pole. Is that correct? And is there something we can do?
Well, I heard that complaint, and the Public Works Director and Lenny Welch at AVEC got together and looked at it, and it's basically the way it's been since day one, as far as we could tell. I'm not sure what's supporting what there, but according to AVEC, that they weren't concerned with the current situation.
Okay. So it's not going to fall over and light poles are going to start going dunk, 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 dunk all the way down the road. That was my concern.
In this position, I can't say what I really feel, but anyways, about the building. So it's been a chore trying to, we were trying to secure the property, the port was trying to secure the property, not necessarily the building. But the building certainly came up in discussion in that process, and that's where we stand at the moment.
All right, thank you so much, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, additional questions for Interim Manager Williams. Okay, nobody else has one. One is, there was some in department head reports about the fire suppression system contracts. We'll give an update on this evening.
Yes, so I don't know what I did with it. So they are working on it. I blew the whistle. I don't know if I blew the whistle, but on May 8th of last year when I started working at the port, I noticed the tags were out of date, and I started asking around. The feeling I'm getting on this is that, again, it was kind of we were trying to use the same vendor that we've always used, and for whatever, because of the pandemic is what I gather, he had a hard time and finally gave up, and we've switched gears on that. And I think you'll see some movement here sooner than later. I better not make promises, but we are looking into it. It's one that I really take fire extinguishers pretty importantly. They've saved my life more than once. So for the most part, they are still good. The fire suppressions are the sprinkler systems. That's another big concern. So I'll certainly stay on top of this and keep everybody informed as we make progress.
Okay. And another item that I happened to see in that report was discussion about the importance of having a contract in place with a entity that could service and test generators. Is that something that's sort of on your list or something you've thought about?
For testing generators? I don't, not quite sure what the property manager had in mind for that. We currently, the V&E department, for the most part, takes care of our generators, as far as I understand it. There was a time when the police department, I guess, they were kind of striking out on their own in the day. That was in the day when they were kind of not part of us, but we've incorporated them back into it. And tomorrow I'll drill down with the Public Works Director on where we stand with that issue and send out an email for a little bit of an update. But as far as I know, that might be that somebody's been delegated some work that they don't seem to want to do. I'm not sure. So I'll get an update on that, Michelle, the mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. And then I have one last thing, and that is, you know, at a past Parks and Rec committee meeting, the group had talked about trying to see if one of the departments of Public Works specifically would be able to clear off one of the ponds for ice skating, thinking about, you know, the pond next to where the log cabin was or something like that. And I know I sent you a note about it, and you said you were a little concerned about COVID-19, so I thought maybe we'd just get kind of an update on the record about what you're thinking about clearing off a pond for ice skating.
Well, I would, you know, if everybody feels comfortable with it, but all I could see was that, you know, I mean, I was concerned that I imagine there's some adults that would love to skate around, but I would think for the most part that it would be children. They don't have to wear a mask. They're not vaccinated. So I was just a little concerned that, you know, people wouldn't, I don't know how you'd ice skate, practice social distancing. I guess you could, but that was my concerns. And maybe I was overly concerned, but there is, if we, you know, really feel safe of that it can be safely used, and I have no objections of getting that shoveled off.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. I think that might be worth maybe just asking some questions of the health providing organizations. I guess from my perspective, since it was an outdoor activity, you know, that there is a little safer than, say, an indoor activity. But it is something I'd kind of like to see explored.
Okay. Will do.
That's all I have. Are there additional council member comments or questions for Interim Manager Williams?
This is Council Member Leary. I have one, I think, quick question.
Yes, Council Member Leary.
Just looking over the grant manager's report, I see the word news in here under boardwalk lighting project. I know a lot of the public was interested in this when it was first coming about. Pete, do you have any updates on this? I guess other than the couple of sentences in here.
Yeah, so all the materials are here, and we plan on working on this year, this summer when the snow melts and we can't get to it. We also have submitted the invoices to ONC because this was part of a grant, and I thank ONC for that. Right now our plans are to try to get that lighting installed this summer.
Great. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments or questions? All right. Not hearing any. We'll move on to item 11.3, the clerk's report.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. The only thing that I'd like to add to my report is just a notification to the public, our many volunteers for our committees and commissions in the council, that I will be working on an updated resolution based off of YKHC's February guidance on their lockdown provisions and any updates that they might have in response to the CDC's updates for vaccinated individuals to maybe identify some matrix for us to begin considering moving back to in-person meetings and what that might look like. So I hope to have that drafted and presented to the council at the next meeting. And again, it would be reliant on, or I guess, representing YKHC's recommendations. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Clerk Strickler.
Council member questions or comments for Clerk Strickler? So I just have one quick question for you, Clerk Strickler, and that is, you know, as we've been forced to move into the virtual meeting environment, I'm curious if you've thought about what from using, say, Zoom as opposed to just calling in only, you've thought about carrying over after we do go back to in-person.
Yeah, so I'll actually present that question to the council for a long-term solution. Something that we haven't presented to the council yet is the potential need of hosting virtual meetings for the city council and our public volunteer boards while we work on a reconstruction for the city hall. So my guess is we might be jumping back and forth for a little while from in-person and virtual, but I... minus the Zoom bomb hiccup that occurred a few months ago, I feel like this has presented a really good option for those people that may not be able to make it to City Hall and what an alternative to just listening on KYUK. So, again, I'll present the question to the council to see if that's their interest. But at this point, it is something that my office would support if the council did.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments for Clerk Strickler?
This is Council Member Henderson. I'd like to maybe add a suggestion for Clerk Strickler. You know, for me, being a new council member and not sitting down with you guys yet, besides in Zoom, and I don't get to see you guys in Zoom, Madam Mayor and Interim Williams and Clerk Strickler and Attorney Bacalar are the only people that I see. And thank you, Laura, Libby. And so to me, these Zoom meetings honestly are impersonal. And I would love to move to in-person. And if it's the public we're worried about, you know, we can, I think, still offer the Zoom option so people can dial in and, you know, make their comments and all of that. But really, I really would like to, now that vaccination process is, you know, getting farther and farther into it, I would really love for us to move back into in-person and just offer the Zoom services to the public and whoever else that would like to meet with the council. That's just a suggestion I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Council Member Henderson. Any other questions or comments for Clerk Strickler? All right. Thank you for that report. Much appreciated. We're now on to item number 12, council member comments. I am first this evening on the list, and I would like to share my condolences to the family and friends of longtime city employee Heidi Hoffman. I know Interim Manager Williams mentioned her passing, as did Council Member McCormick, and I want to express my sincere condolences to all of her friends and family, and express appreciation for the work that she did for the city. She was a key person in the finance department, and she'll be missed. So next up is Vice Mayor Hansen.
I don't have any comments tonight. Thank you.
Council Member Barr.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Mayor. I have no comments.
Councilmember Leary.
Thank you. I just want to echo your sentiments and condolences to the family of Heidi Hoffman. I did not know her personally, but I always heard really great things about the work she did over at the city, and you know, she was someone that as Pete had, expressed that someone that this, the city and finance department could really count on. Any loss is so hard, and especially with a young person with young children and all that. So just deep sympathies to the family and friends, and that's all I have for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Leary. Councilmember Springer.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. We got some important public comment this evening about what is perceived by the public to be some issues with the police department. The council doesn't have a whole lot to do with the police department. The Public Safety Commission doesn't really have a whole lot to do with the police department except to be able to ask questions. So I want to say that I hope that the city manager takes those concerns to the chief, who is his employee, and gets some explanation. For example, on the long period of time, we know that in the state, getting rape kits tested has been an issue for a long time, but the state has also provided resources for that. There was there's an allegation that somebody who would have been in the chain of custody might have been related to an alleged perpetrator. I'd like to hear what the story is on that. And then I'd also like to ask, I neglected to say this during a report, but I think it's very, very important that the Bethel Police Department and the fire department, who have got adequate technical resources, start to cooperate closer with Bethel Search and Rescue. It's entirely possible that the sole dependence on Bethel Search and Rescue to respond to cries for help within either the city limits or awfully close to them may not be causing the desired outcome. And now, Pete, I'll be happy to talk to you about this. I wouldn't be surprised if anybody else would. The police department has snow machines. The fire department has a boat. I really think we have to provide more support to BSAR, and not just financially. I think that the public safety agencies in our community really have to be ready to answer calls on the river, whether it's wintertime or summertime, and do that in cooperation with BSAR. But I think that we need to really look at what the city's resources can do there. And again, big thanks to Streets and Roads for the great job they're doing. And condolences to Heidi's family. And, between COVID and everything else, that cemetery is awfully busy. So the folks that provide the support for getting the graves dug, Lori and this is the city clerk getting the burial permits. There's a lot of very quiet work that goes on to support families that have experienced tragedy of one sort or another. And I just want to recognize all of them for what they're doing. So thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer, for those comments. Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I too want to express my condolences to the Hoffman family. I want to thank Clerk Strickler and Interim Manager Williams for all the support you have given the family. I've heard reports from family members that are so appreciative of everything that you are doing and have done for them. I really do appreciate it as a council member and as a Bethel resident. Heidi was dearly loved and Shirley was a very hard worker. The whole thing is so sad, and I was so happy to see
you guys come together for them. I want to thank Pete for that report and Lori for your report and Libby for the smiling face. And I really look forward to hearing YKHC's new restrictions with the CDC's new restrictions coming out and recommendations and stuff like that. I know a lot of people are really tired of this COVID, as I am, and I'm doing everything I can to be patient, you know, encouraging people to get vaccinated. If you haven't been vaccinated yet, I do encourage you to go. I had to take a test to go see my husband when he was admitted the other day. It's not that bad. So the test is not that bad, but you know, I'd prefer not to do it anymore. It's it's just getting to that point, and I don't want to discourage anyone from doing it. But please, let's just all get vaccinated and let's work through this. Kudos to the road crew with all this snow. Oh my goodness, we haven't had snow like this since, gosh, I can't remember when. It is crazy. I was very appreciative to get it, and I go to work at 7:30 in the morning and not have to drive through snow drifts after that big snow storm. So I know the road crew is out very early taking care of our little community, and thank you to them. So that's all I have. Thank
you. Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Henderson and Councilmember McCormick.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. I want to firstly thank everybody who, you know, before this meeting, I received a number of emails about the resolution that we discussed this evening, and I was really thankful for that. I love to hear from the community because, unfortunately, I don't feel like I really have enough, so I just want to thank everybody who sent those emails. But I'd also like to thank Ruth Miller and Annie Cochran for speaking this evening. I understand it's incredibly difficult, I'm sure, to speak about experiences like this. Moreover, I am unfortunately also can sympathize with the rage that one might feel when justice is not served in situations like that, especially out here in rural Alaska. I know there have been a number of individuals who've been subjected to horrible crimes, and really nothing has unfortunately been done about that. And so I know Councilmember Springer said that might sort of be out of our purview, but I do hope that we can work in some capacity to really try to combat this issue that seems to be prevalent currently. With that out of the way, I just want to say happy Women's History Month, everybody. It's a great honor to work with Clerk Strickler, Attorney Bacalar, Mayor DeWitt, Council Member Hansen, Council Member Henderson, and Council Member Leary. It's a great privilege to make more history with all of you guys. And also in honor of Women's History Month, I just want to say thank you, Mom, Pam Conrad. You're the best. So thank you for making me and all that other stuff. That's all I have for this evening. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Council Member McCormick. Next up on the agenda is item number 13, executive session. There are no items under executive session this evening. And number 14, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Henderson.
Okay. I heard a motion from Henderson. And who was the second?
Hansen.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. All those in favor of adjournment, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. Thanks, everyone. We are adjourned. And have a good night, everybody. See you in 2 weeks. See you in 2 weeks.